Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. That went quick this last 8 minutes, didn't it? We weren't prepared. We almost got caught saying
stuff.
You're
not supposed to tell people that.
Well,
I remember years ago we were on, that sports station, WNSA.
Okay, yeah.
And Willard would say, we ought to put a camera in here. I said, no.
Police.
No way.
Police.
Right. Right now, it's 10:05 in the morning. We always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520, at midnight, unless there's a sporting event, and then we are on after the sporting event. Also, we are available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m., live streaming on most devices that connect to the Internet. You can get to the live streaming on our website, sapriston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you want to replay a show or you missed the show, you can always go to the website. The archive is usually up pretty quickly, sometime over the weekend.
I'm very glad of that.
I'm sure you are, because you can always, I know you always go back and listen to what you said and say, boy, was I good.
I only listened once. I wanted to hear what my voice sounded like, and right. I had to turn it off.
But the shows are live streaming and archived at the website, sapriston.com. And then finally at the website, bright and early, most Saturday mornings, almost every Saturday morning. I say that because David just told me that the free economic report that's usually there, bright and early every Saturday morning by Stone and McCarthy, is not there today because of the holiday weekend. But
right.
But the report is, except for holidays, I think it's
right.
Available bright and early every Saturday morning right. At our website, sapriston.com. Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, that's 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in right now. Phone lines, as usual, are pretty wide open, so give us a call early. That's 803-1520 or 800-879-7541. And we're going to go first to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Bob.
Hey.
How you doing?
Boy, you're
good.
Bright and early.
I wanted to be first today.
You must have things to do, I guess, right?
Oh, I first of all, I want to thank you for acknowledging my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I turned the radio on, and the first thing I heard was compost pile.
Compost pile?
Yeah, the show before you.
Oh.
And I thought it was a political show.
Peter was worried. He thought you heard him say something.
You know, you should have your own show, really.
Well, Jason wanted me to co-host his show.
Oh, I believe that one.
Peter said, Bob, that you should be on the stage, except that it's leaving in 5 minutes, he said. That's what, anyway. That's
oh, my God. Well, I think we're done for the day after that one, but anyway.
Well, actually, I felt like Nostradamus, because last week I told you it would go down 1,000 points, and it went down 900 and something.
It was beautiful, no question about it. And then because you predicted that, you jumped in and bought, right?
Well, if I was a rich man.
There's a song like that.
I would have bought the S&P, and I would have bought the NASDAQ.
Yeah, it was amazing, really. And, you know, it's always interesting. I always point out it. That's the second time. I forgot it was about a month ago or so. You know, you have an important support level like 2030.
Right.
You blew through it, right? You got down as low as 1991.
Uh-huh.
And then when you don't see the follow-through to the downside, and then you see the market immediately go back above that previous area that broke,
right,
that's a very bullish indication, you know.
Yeah, so you know all that technical stuff. I just go on intuition.
Yeah, well, you probably do better than me with your intuition, believe me.
Of course, I've been studying how this planet works for about 8,000 years, so sometimes I get it right.
Well, you may be Nostradamus in one of your lives if you've been around 8,000 years, but anyway.
Hey, you got that. That's pretty good.
Right?
Because, like I said, most people are somnambulists.
Well, now you're going above my pay grade here. It's like I said at a girl at work. She was training a new employee, and I said, how's your protege doing? She says, what does protege mean? Right? So, okay.
You're not supposed to say girl, I don't think, either.
I can't say girl.
I think you're supposed to say person.
Person? A person? I can't say
female.
Girl?
Well, that could be sexist, I think.
You know what I say about this country right now?
Here we go.
You got me started. It's July 4th weekend. The founding fathers have been rolling over in their grave. I mean, you know, on and on what's going on in this country. But anyway, go ahead.
Actually, that was my intention to get you going.
You got me going. He got me going. Can't say girl. You can't say this. You can't say that.
So. As far as independence goes, I'm a little confused. I think we're paying more taxes now than we were in the 1700s.
Well, that I would probably agree with you there, no question.
So
especially
who are we
corporate.
Independent from?
Yeah, and I see the Democrats in their platform want to raise corporate taxes, you know. So anyway,
they want to raise, fees and licensing and everything else. So it's a backdoor tax.
I agree. So anyway, you really got us off in the end.
That was my goal.
You did a good job.
But also, I wanted to say about HL again.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It blew through 5.
Oh yes. Well, I'll tell you, silver finally, and God, we're probably going to wake Jason up here, but anyway, silver finally skyrocketed, you know, took off like anything, and finally started doing what it normally does is actually perform better than gold, you know, so.
Right. So that's amazing. So you really think it's going to go to about 650 now?
What's that?
HL.
Oh, HL, okay.
Close at 544.
Yeah, wow. Let me look. Boy, I'll tell you. It has blown through a lot of resistance.
Yeah, my target's $4.06, so obviously it hasn't updated.
Yeah. Well, by the time they update it, it'll be gone from there anyway.
It'll go down.
Yeah, let me look what would be the next logical area after that.
That move even surprised me. I said, well, I went up almost $2 in the last week.
Well, believe it or not, you know, 650 is a possibility.
Oh, cool.
You know, and I hate to keep talking about silver, but I read a great article on silver from something called, and actually you can get a free subscription to it. It's called the Non-Dollar Report. And if you Google that, it was very intriguing. You know,
Non-Dollar Report?
Non-Dollar. N-O-N-D-O-L-L-A Report. And among the things they said, which I wasn't even aware of, I think, you know, you always talk about, you know, at least silver's got some industrial demand in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unlike gold, really. And, you know, gold has some, but not to the extent silver has. And I thought I read on this, if I could find it, that they said that the solar industry uses 23% of the silver.
Wow.
Yeah, which was very amazing to me. So, anyway, they had a very good write-up on it. They said a lot of silver mines, you know, some of the junior silver mines don't have, you know, very low grade of silver is what they have, you know. And therefore, that there's a bigger and bigger gap, you know, in the demand for silver and so forth. So anyway, a lot of very bullish things, you know. Technically, I think, I don't know where Silva closed. I think the SLV closed at like 1886. But I don't know.
Oh, I think it was 1950-something.
Yeah, but I was looking at a chart on SLV.
I'm waiting for my intercom guest.
Anyway. Yeah, I was looking at a chart on SLV. And, you know, it looked like it's anywhere between 19 and 22. It could go as high as 22, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, very interesting. And, yeah, 650s are you know, a next important resistance, really. You know.
Oh, cool. I'll break even, and I'll even make a couple dollars.
Finally, after all that time. It was like a caller of ours who said, I don't know about that, Jason. I bought silver years ago, and I'm still underwater. You know, so.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to sell it when it hits 40.
Exactly. And actually, it did that not too long ago again. You know,
yeah, so. Spot silver 1987 is what I'm showing.
Yeah, that's about what I heard.
Yeah,
that's amazing because probably a month ago it was back at 14-something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, for a long time I said, oh, boy, this thing's not moving. Gold's moving, and silver is supposed to move, you know, faster than gold on a percentage basis.
Right.
And it wasn't. And then all of a sudden somebody woke up, I guess.
I guess. It's kind of interesting.
They must have been listening to Jason, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be weird. It's about a month from now, 6 months from now, when if this keeps going, your next-door neighbor will be talking about silver.
then it's time to get out.
Right. One of my coin dealer friends, I saw him last week, and I believe silver was about 1730-something.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, I predict 18 by the end of the year. He looked at me and says, this is going to blow through 18 like nothing. And I go, you're kidding me. And he goes, no. He said, watch and see. And he was absolutely
he was right.
He's looking at 20-something very shortly.
Yeah. Like I say, you know, 22 is certainly a reasonable target. You know.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I guess. Let's hope it all works out. No guarantees in life.
No,
sure.
He also said in 6 months it could be at 17 again.
Yeah.
So he's realistic that way.
Well, glad to hear that. At least he didn't say, oh, now $100 silver. You know.
So. Right. So you guys enjoy the weekend.
You too.
You too, Bob.
And nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, that's 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. Go next to Rick in Amherst. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, Rick.
Your previous caller talked about one of the subjects I wanted to also talk about. I know Jason isn't going to like to hear this, but I always viewed gold and silver investing in it as a loser's game. And that it goes up and down, and over, you know, the long term, you could have gotten something more in terms of income, you know, investing in high quality stocks. Anyways, so I do have one stock, which is a silver stock, and I'm just thinking that now that the Brexit vote has been done, the economy seems to be more understandable in terms of where we're heading. If the money has already been made in gold and silver, because I have a silver stock, Endeavor Silver, EXK, and it's, you know, rebounded from the depths of nothing. And, I'm looking at, you know, perhaps putting more in, you know, given your recent talk about the direction of silver and the potential. What's your take on EXK?
Well, see, the problem with EXK was it has so much overhead resistance to it. Doesn't mean it, I think that's why it's been rather slow, you know, and, you know, finally perked up last couple days.
Yeah.
But you know, there was tons of trading over the last year between 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's got to chew through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it can't.
Low twos.
You know. What's that?
The price of the stock went down to the low 2 level.
Well, back in January, it was around 1.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
We traded as low as a buck.
Yeah.
High is 428,
right.
And closed at 407.
Yep. Yeah. But, you know, you don't know, you know, whether all that resistance is going to stop it or not. You hate to see that. I mean, you look at the chart, it's a big chunk of resistance there.
Yeah. But I think, you know, something like this has got to be traded. I don't think you can buy it and put it away. This isn't GE or AT&T.
Mm.
I mean, it's a trading vehicle. And I talked to a client of mine, that longtime friend that happens to have some dual citizenship and has got a registered retirement account in Canada. And he's telling me this week that his precious metal investing, they do a lot of it up there, doubled since last year. I said, well, what are you waiting for? What do you mean?
Exactly.
It's going higher. I said, well, why don't you just sell half of it? You know, you doubled your money and then sit on the rest. I mean, it just to let these things evaporate because nothing is forever.
I mean, well, I know that Endeavor Silver for quite a while was trading in a high too. So if you had bought, let's say, 1.5, 1.7, whatever, and now you see Endeavor Silver went up to 3.25, you would have said, oh, you know, I doubled my money. I'm going to take half my profits, whatever. But now it's, you know, what, 4? So now you could think, well, how do I know that that's the high? You know,
I never do. I try not to do that.
There's no way of ever knowing.
You can't get emotionally attached to these things.
No way.
You just got to have a game plan. You got to be disciplined. That's for trading. Investing's a different. Again, this is my own
opinion.
Yeah,
you have to have, you know, what's your strategy? I mean, you know, are you an investor? If you're an investor, you just sit there, right? And you say, okay, you know, I think silver's going to 100, whatever, and you're an investor, right?
Well, would you view the precious metals market as stock performance as correlated to the stability of world economy and perceived?
Well, I would go to the non-dollar report, who says it's mystifying.
Right.
None of it makes any sense.
Yeah, my experience in almost 40 years in this business that the precious metals, only on the downside and staying down, have been something that's there for a long time. These moves upward, even the most recent one going back to 2008-09 when gold went to 1900, it was all temporary.
Yes.
I think it's very difficult to predict because there's no use for gold. It's just something that countries like to have, and obviously there's silver and, excuse me, there's jewelry and things like that. Silver, at least, there's more of a use. But still, these moves like this are usually temporary.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is, if you do go to that the non-dollar report, okay, Google it. You can subscribe for free, you know, for what it's worth. I mean, the opinion of one guy who is a silver mining guy.
Too many opinions.
Says that the silver mining, junior gold miners are going to be a much different area in the next year. There's going to be a lot of merger and acquisition activity that's going to pick up because of all of this.
So, you know? GDXJ might be a good way to play that?
Well, GDXJ is what? The gold miners?
Junior gold miners.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying that these are the junior silver miners we're talking about.
I see. Okay, yeah, that's junior gold miners.
But I'm just saying, you know, you can buy some, you know, a group of them, you know, because you could pick the wrong one. Say you put all your money in Endeavor, and it's a dog, you know.
Yeah, it has been for quite a while.
Well, whatever, you know. But right now, you know, it could take off and blow through that. I mean, I'm looking at some of these, like Hecla. Really has no real overhead resistance on it, you know, like your Endeavor does, you know. And you look at Silver Wheaton, which is a little more expensive. It's $25 a share, you know?
Right?
But that's got a lot of overhead that it doesn't have the overhead that Endeavor does. But you know, you never know. Endeavor could blow right through that resistance. But you know, if I were the play, I'd have a couple of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And moving over to interest rates, I thought that the sector business development corporations, that if interest rates go up, that would indicate that the economy is moving forward, and the companies that are part of the portfolio of these business development corps would make more money, and therefore that would reflect on a higher price of these business development corps, but they're more or less more of a fixed income kind of investment, but they also have a play on the revenue stream. So I'm trying to make sense of, okay, if interest rates go up, how would that affect the valuation on these business development
corps? What's a business development corporation?
Pardon me?
What is, excuse me, a business development corporation?
Well, there are companies which lend money to small to mid-sized companies.
Risky companies, okay.
Yeah, for example, one is Prospect Capital, PSEC.
Hmm.
There's another one. I don't want to throw out too many.
No, one's enough. Just trying to get
an
idea.
Which one is it?
P.S. Paul, Sam, Edward, Charlie.
Yeah. You know, very high yield, but seems to have support level. And
yeah, not being familiar with this, I don't know what your thesis is. I can't. I always have an opinion on it, but I don't have any knowledge.
It's always had good support somewhere in the $6 area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's had support down there. You know, trying to figure out all of these companies. Once again, I say when you're involved in individual companies,
mm-hmm.
right? you don't know whether they did the right thing or not. You know, you don't know what, you know, most of them, they don't just sit there blindly and say, oh, I'm not going to worry about interest rates doing this or the interest rates doing that. They're hedging, all right?
Yes.
And you don't know for each individual company, so you can't answer that really, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm just trying to look at the big picture, you know, that as interest rates go up, that's good for certain sectors. Interest rates go down, you know, that's better for example, for the municipal bonds. I held a municipal bond fund, and I thought interest rates had reached their bottom, and when they started creeping up, of course, you know, the valuation on my holding went down, so I sold. I didn't want to play around with it, and I would have never believed that interest rates would have continued to go down, and my holding, you know, has reached an all-time high. I would have never have dreamt that. So the right move would have been for me to have held that fund, not to have sold as I did.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20.
You see, as technicians say, they say trade what you see, not what you think. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you, you know, I don't know which one were you in anyway.
Well, it was a BBN, Boy Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, 10-year Treasury is down one full percent from where it was last year.
Yeah,
it's quite a move.
I mean, now if I were to look at a point and figure chart, there was never a reason to sell it, you know, technically. You
well,
know.
At one point the stock dropped, at what point, what time of the year it did drop. When I held it, I actually took a small profit.
Mm-hmm.
But it
was in May, right?
No,
May or June? Or no, we're going back.
In February.
Yeah, February it was. Yeah, I'm just looking at the chart where I see it drop a couple bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Under 23 to under 22 at one time.
Right, exactly, yeah. And I did not buy this, you know, with the intention of the stock moving that much.
Right.
Oh, right. So that's another thing. I mean, if you don't want to be in something that volatile, then don't be in it.
Yeah, that was a Puerto Rico time where everybody was nervous. And, of course, the Fed was talking about raising interest rates because the unemployment.
Yeah, but you forget all that stuff.
No, I know.
I mean, it's all irrelevant, you know, totally irrelevant.
Well, that's your years of experience.
And if you look at the chart, all it did was when it dropped, it came back to the long-term uptrend.
Yes. Know? Well, now with the Brexit vote, isn't there an unknown factor that's operating now where you don't
know
let
me tell
other
you
European
something.
Countries are going to...
Brexit is not done.
Yes.
No, it's not. All right.
So
No. What I'm saying is it may not even go through.
Oh. Hmm.
Because they have to invoke Article 50, okay, in Britain, and they haven't done that. Okay. And don't forget Greece when they let their people vote on the bailout and the people overwhelmingly said, we're not going to take the bailout. And what did the Greek government do? Took the bailout, right?
I see.
So they don't have to go with the vote.
Hmm. I thought you were going to say that England was going to have a best of three vote.
No, that's a possibility, too. No, it's good. I mean,
let's do it again.
Yeah, right.
Make it best of three.
Double or nothing.
Yeah. anything's possible. But once again, you know, as we said even before the vote, it didn't matter because the parliament's the final decision.
Nice.
You know, so we shall see.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Safe, healthy holiday.
Okay.
Thanks.
Phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or toll free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to, can't believe it, Jason's calling. Jason in Cherry Creek.
Why can't you believe it?
Hi-ho, Silver.
Dad, you're down right up 40% for the year.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Blind pig finds an acorn every once in a while, too.
Uh-oh, look at David throwing cold water.
Really? I would put my track record up against yours any day, buddy.
Well, I don't think
I'm the one calling floors and ceilings. I'm sorry, but you know I'm right on that.
Well, I can pick back on things, too. But
here we go. This is July 4th weekend.
Happy, the explosions. No, but it's something that, you know, I'm very nervous about the market. I think it's going to pull back. I was right. For a short period of time, you know, the market did pull back, but then it recovered. So, you know,
I just want to make sure
people realize that there's risk to everything that anybody does in this game.
I'm giving the floors and ceilings on everything. I've told you them with Rite Aid, Apple, every single time for the upside, downside, when to get out. The VIX, I keep telling you, 18,000, pick it up. and then, you know, dump it out at 17.6, trade it. And as for, you know, gold and silver, first of all, we're, you know, you will, silver, as I said, it closed at 1975 on bullion. That's where the actual close was on Friday. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the year, it was around 13.14. You could have got it at its lows. It was hanging mostly at, like, you know, probably around 15.16.
Yeah, forever.
But either way,
good
returns. And but this is where you get the breath of life back into silver because of the Brexit vote. And Peter, you're right with the parliamentary decision. However, I really kind of thought about it. I think a lot of this, the European Union, every time there's any type of large government agency, they always thirst for more power. And at first I was like, ooh, this is a shot in the face of the globalists, you know what I mean, of, you know, the Brexit vote. However, they would kind of want this, because the more calamity that could actually happen, the more right they have to increase their power. So now they're going to say that, well, the reason why the EU is failing and struggling is not because of the unproductive socialist policies that are going on, but more so because government wasn't big enough. The financial industries didn't have enough influence on it. I mean, they'll always use a negative to increase their power supply.
They sound like Democrats.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, kind of. Oh, you know your phones are going to light up with a bunch of people who ain't got no money to invest now. But anyway, my point is, though, is with the VIX. Now, you had on the VIX this week on the updates, the VIX dropped the largest amount it had ever dropped. 42%. So if you thought you missed your opportunity and you did want to pick it up, I always tell you to look at the 1 year and 5 year chart on Dixie. You know what I mean? And as I said, we are in the election year. But you can make a lot on it right now. You really can, because we are not done with the Brexit vote. And the reason why gold or silver and gold have bottomed, in my opinion, is I've always told you guys of the manipulation that goes on in the markets in precious metals. Deutsche Bank got caught and fined on that. I told you guys about that a month or two ago. J.P. Morgan covered a huge percentage of their short position in silver.
Trading things that happen. Those are trading, not getting caught doing whatever. I'm not aware of that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with trading either. Right?
No, but that's what these things are. People, some people buy these things
at the VIXI. You know, it went to 850, went to 11.25, okay? Went to 9, and then went back to 11.25, okay? Now it went back to 9 again.
Exactly.
It's trading. I'm not a trader.
No,
right. I'm just saying.
So he's right. I mean, you know, every time it's gotten up to a certain level, you sell it, and it comes back down to this level, you can buy it again, you know?
You know, and that thing's like, you know, people say, well, gold and silver, I heard, is like a sucker's bet or whatever compared to GE. I'm sorry, but I used to run a business in Erie, PA with my glass block, and there were a lot of people who worked for GE and had their entire retirement in GE. And you know what? When that dropped, it never came back to the levels it was at.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? So, but then again, with gold and silver, what I tell people is buy the bullion. Yeah, you can trade it on your you know, ETF and this and that, make some money. But when it comes to actually holding your money in it, it's beautiful. Because it's liquid. You can buy silver or gold bullion, and when you need to get a new roof on your house, you don't want to borrow money at interest, you need any type of expense or an investment opportunity comes up to pick up a piece of real estate, you got cash money in your hand within 4 hours of when you decide to sell it. It's not like a brokerage firm, like an IRA, where you're locked in and you can't touch that money to 62.5, and you'll watch opportunities pass you by, because even though you had money, you weren't liquid.
It's 59.5, but that's okay.
What's that?
It's 59.5, but that's okay.
What's 69.5?
59.5 is when you can take money out of an IRA without a penny.
Oh,
I'm just
59
kidding.
59.5. No. All right, whatever.
I'm just saying, for people to put a great deal of money, a great percentage of their investable capital into anything, a VIXI, into gold, into GE, and is not reasonable. But it's so difficult for those folks that work at those companies to try and tell them that they should reduce their exposure. I can't tell you how many people I knew that were
GM.
Ford. And we go through it. Now, that's easy for us to tell people to do that. It's very difficult to do it, so.
Yeah, I mean, but I just hate how brokers say diversification, yet not a single broker makes money on the downside. They all spread their money out on different equities and bonds to go or to the upside. Well, not bonds, but for equities. Every different paper, different sector to the upside. And you know darn well in modern day trading things, when markets go down, all sectors go with it. It's, I mean,
right, but it's just difficult to do. It's just difficult. I know of one broker that I worked with in the 80s that I can't remember. I know his name. I won't say it. But he got burned in the late 70s, early 80s when the market went down. And so from that point on, Jason, all he would do was short stocks. He wouldn't buy anything long. And forever. And so it's very difficult for people to say we're going to invest in something because we wanted something bad to happen. It's just difficult.
Well, you know
to do.
Why he did that, too. He did it because when stocks drop, they drop fast and quickly. The percentage gain on it is much, much faster.
Right. And I also forgot he did it with puts and things like that. They had short time horizons. So it was, it was
and
difficult.
And by the way, don't think for a second this little market rally is some type of realization of quality or undervalue. This is a lot of short covering. Yeah. You know, you had a lot of people with that Brexit vote short out, Soros, the rest of them. You know what I mean? They made their quick money on the return, and then they bought back in on Tuesday.
Right. There's still a lot of people short, though. And this is the same thing. It's Groundhog Day. The market has gone absolutely sideways for 6 to 9 months. And yes, we've had these volatile days up and down, but it's basically Groundhog Day.
And I gave you the trading strategy on it, 18,000 to 17,600 on the VIX. And you'd be making that, you know how much you would have made last year, you would have been over 200%. This year, somewhere around there, you're around 40, 60%. I'm just saying, I'll put my record up against a friggin' treasury note any day. So, but gentlemen, it's always been great talking to you guys.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Have a safe holiday.
Hold sober, okay?
I knew you'd end with that. Take it easy. Okay, right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or toll free, 800-879-7541. We have a couple callers on the line. If they'll be a little patient, wait for 1 minute. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. We got a giggling co-host here.
Well, I just think we should have cameras in here. They could see how we debate during that 60 seconds.
During the 60 seconds. Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or toll-free, 800-879-7541. Give us a call. Go next to Howard in Williamsville. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
Well,
good
morning. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks for patiently waiting.
I haven't been calling for a while, but Hi-O Silver, where's Tonto? I don't know him.
Not far behind.
You're okay. Dating yourself. There are certain people out there who have no idea what you're talking about.
I know I am. So, I had a question. I had a specific stock that got bought out, Teco Energy, TE. It stopped trading yesterday, but I can't find any news, so I don't know if I'm getting a cash buyout or it's being bought out by a Canadian company called Emera.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't see that.
I looked on Yahoo Finance yesterday, couldn't find anything about what the shareholders
said. It says done deal.
It says done deal?
Done deal.
$27.55, I believe, Margie is the
Manning.
Final price they're offering.
Who said it was a done deal?
This lady that wrote this article.
Done deal.
Done deal.
You're right.
Like 100 shares traded yesterday, so I think they stopped trading.
One of the oldest and largest companies headquartered in Tampa Bay is a new owner nearly 10 months after initially announcing the $10.4 billion deal. Completed its purchase, paying $27.55 in cash. There you go.
Right. My question is, I got it at 18.46, so I had quite a profit. Now, I don't know if I'm getting cash. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, you're getting cash.
Cash.
$27.55.
So, obviously, I'm getting taxed on this. So, my question
is...
Congratulations. Yeah.
But you should be ashamed of yourself for making money.
Oh, okay. I've lost money on other stocks.
Right.
So. We're probably even at this point. Okay. But I buy something else with this, is there still tax repercussions if I use the money from the sale of the Tico?
Yeah, it's not like buying a house and taking that money, that profit, and putting it into another home. No. We don't give tax or legal advice, but the answer is you're going to pay tax.
You're going to pay tax, right.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Right.
Well, you can't get away from taxes, but...
But you could. So I guess you could. You could donate...
Well, I'm to the Cayman Islands, but I don't have that kind of money.
No, but you could donate the chairs, and possibly you could avoid the tax on that, but you'd have to talk to a tax professional on that.
Okay.
But you probably wouldn't want to do that. You want the money. So, but that's good. You know, if you paid 18, you got 10 points. That's awesome.
Right. My question, too, what's going on with Rite Aid? Should I dump it?
I wish I knew.
The market's been doing well this week, and all the Rite Aid is doing is going backwards. Walgreens deal might be off the table.
I mean, I always worried about that because of the fact that it seems like antitrust would come in. I mean, because you've pretty well wiped out most of the drugstores, you know. And what do you have left? Walgreens and CVS? Is that it?
And Wegmans?
Yeah, well, leave me...
So I just wondered if it was time to bail on Rite Aid.
Well, I've been saying all along when everybody called, if you have something better you want to buy, why leave your money sitting there, you know? I mean, theoretically, you're supposed to get, what, 9-something for it?
Right, theoretically. Or should I wait to see what happens with the antitrust if they are going to vote against it or whatever?
Well, I mean, the risk is, you know, that...
What could it go back to is what
$5 probably.
Stock closed at $7.31, so you're talking $1.70, $1.69. That's big, yeah. So I think the market's telling you there's some uncertainty here. If it's a $9 take or $9 cash or shares?
I don't remember specifically, again, what happened there with Walgreens, if they were going to offer you cash or I think it was shares of Walgreens. I'm not positive.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, yeah, could the disappointment knock it down to that? I mean, the earnings supposedly are supposed to be 14 cents, you know, which is only a 54 price to earnings ratio, right, on Rite Aid. So 54 times earnings.
Yeah, they're talking just the reason the stock's disappointing because of their earnings. I'm looking through. I don't see anything negative.
And I didn't see what the projections on the earnings were, to tell you the truth. If they thought they were going to go up dramatically, let's see for next year. Well, they're expecting average estimate of 27 cents, which would be a doubling in earnings, you know. But you're still trading at an unbelievable price to earnings ratio, right? Even at 27 cents, you know.
Right.
The other side, if the deal goes through, you'll kick yourself, right? You know, you say, look at that. I could have made 40% on my money just like that, you know.
Well, right now I'm about even. I mean, where I bought it, so I didn't know if I should hang on to it or just see what happens or get rid of it.
Well, yeah. If it goes up, hold it.
Okay. I mean, like I say,
stocks real quick.
Sure.
You haven't looked at this one in a while, RQI.
Yeah, we own that in a lot of income portfolios that we manage, and it's doing very well. You know,
I noticed that. I wondered if I should take a shot at that.
Well, I wish you had bought it earlier, you know.
I know, me too.
Yeah. It's it broke out, it gave a buy signal at 13.5. If you want to believe the price objective, for what it's worth, is 20, you know. I mean, it's very strong, you know, and it should have good support between, say, 12.5 and 13 now. So,
Is that a closed-end fund?
What's that?
Is that a closed-end fund?
Well, I mean RQI is an ETF, right?
Oh, it's an ETF?
Yeah. If that's what he's saying, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I wasn't sure of that.
And just on that Rite Aid Walgreens, there was an article back in June talking about the companies, and it says they agreed to a $17 billion merger after some skepticism about whether it would be approved by the FTC. A recent article in the New York Post, and not the epitome of journalism, but indicated that it now looks quite likely to happen, albeit subject to certain conditions set by the regulator. Walgreens anticipates that the deal will close in the second half of this year. So. It's second half started Friday.
Not acting like it's going to go through.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, yesterday it was like four or three times of volume on the downside that it usually does.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was all about.
Well, Peter's got some reason for that, Pete. What's what does that tell you to do?
What was that?
There's so much volume on the downside in an up market. And
on what?
Rite Aid.
Don't know. I wish I knew.
Actually, in our just jumping back to RQI, it says here it's a closed-end fund.
Oh, is it a closed-end fund?
Yeah.
Okay, I had it wrong then.
Yeah, it's a financial
over here. It says RQI ETF,
That
says it's a closed-end fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't know.
It's one
or the other.
We're so efficient today. Sorry, Howard.
Yeah.
I would think
hot dogs early.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, it says the primary investment objective of the fund is high. Uh-huh. So it must be a closed end fund then.
Yeah. Yeah. I eat veggie dogs. I don't eat meat. Yeah. So that's all
right. What is the dividend on RQI anyway?
I can't find it on here. That's what's interesting.
No?
It doesn't show on mine, Pete, on FinViz doesn't show a dividend.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
This says 7.07%.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a 7% yield on it. And, yeah, I'd check. I mean, like I say, when I Googled it, one thing's calling it an ETF. The other one says it's a closed-end fund. You know, it says it's a fund, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I would check that out. But let me just see one other thing real quick.
Yeah, it's funny. And FinViz, the closed-end funds, just because I just checked another one, they don't show dividends for some reason. Must be because they're subject to change so much. It's interesting. I don't know.
Well, forget it. Anyway.
That's okay. Well, you guys have a happy fourth.
You
okay,
too.
Thank
Howard.
You
thanks for
much.
Calling
okay.
And being patient.
Yeah, take care.
We appreciate
take
it.
Take care. Okay, phone numbers to call 803-1520 or toll free 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Victor. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Here's what I want you guys to do. Get Willard's approval and buy some memory pills and then send them to Jason. You got a budget on this show. I want you to use some of it and send this guy memory pills because this is the same guy. You guys owe it to your new listeners. This is the guy that was touting silver at 31, 29 and 25, big time. It's exactly like he's touting it at 19, and he forgets. He says he's got quadruple. You know, come on, quadruple. When this guy looks in the mirror every morning, he sees the Dos Equis man. He's the Dos Equis man of investing. That's how he looks at himself. We gotta help this guy out. I'm serious. I mean, I'm serious. He was loving silver. He was the guy that was selling Baidu puts at 81 when the thing ran to 106. Victor writes all his down. These are facts. So, come on. But anytime he calls, you tell him, didn't you like it at 31, 29, and 25? Okay? That's what Victor's got to say.
We appreciate you saying that.
And we do have all of the archive shows at our website, so we can check that out, too.
Call him Mr. Dos Equis. Dos Equis. That's my new nickname for the guy. He looks in the mirror, and that's who he sees. He probably got a beard, too.
Right.
two stocks I want, Amgen, AMGN. What do you think of that one? That's been in a long base. How would you play that on your point and figure?
Yeah, let me take a look real quick. I've been Googling all over the place here. It's been a tough morning, believe me.
Oh, yeah. Tough morning is when you're really doing physical manual labor, not pushing buttons.
Well,
I never
do that. That's all right. MGM, huh?
AMGN, yeah. I mean, it's been beaten up, but this is a quality company. They got a ton of free cash. I mean, how would you play it? Would you wait for a breakout off this base? How would you?
Close at 154.28. It's a trader's delight, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's pulled back a couple of times to about the 142 to 146 area. And all I could say in a point and figure chart doesn't tell you anything. It's in a trading range. You know?
Right. Nothing.
And you're between 142 and 164.
The breakout. You have to play the breakout, right? Over 164.
You could. Yeah.
Well, you'd have to go over 164, right?
Right, you know, right.
Yeah.
In a base. The other one is CNQ.
CNQ.
This is the one I followed for years. This is one that's really looking strong now.
Let's see. Yeah, that does look good. Nice little run up. Consolidation, another big run up, another consolidation, very strong, you know. So, you know, here you would get worry about it if it dropped to 27, but mm-hmm. you know, but certainly if it went to say 33,
right, that
would be a breakout. Yeah,
kind of close at 3092 yeah. Canadian Natural
and,
Resources.
And its little cousin is TCK.
CNQ. What was that? Canadian Natural Resources.
CNQ.
Yeah. What's
CNQ
the other one?
TCK. Tech.
TCK, yeah. What is that, a copper company or something?
Yeah, these are all Canadian.
Yeah.
Canadian.
Boy, that one, oh my God. Is that's unbelievable.
I sat in a plane on a trip. I was actually going to the Vegas conference, and I sat next to a Canadian, and somehow we got talking on stocks. He found out where I was going. He said, I want you to watch one. This guy sitting next to me, this is going back 4 or 5 years ago, used to trade this thing when it got into the low teens.
And so
I've been following it for 4 or 5 years. I've sold puts on it and got out. I never actually owned the common, but it's got a real nice chart here.
Oh, it's beautiful. Perfect. I mean, you know, I would have never looked at a copper stock in a million years.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just amazing. You know.
Okay. All right, get those memory pills. Send them out to the Osecki man.
I like
okay?
The guy. The guy need them too.
No. He needs them. The 31 silver guy needs them. All right, guys. Good show.
Thank you. Have a safe holiday, Victor.
Take it easy. And it's interesting because in my mind, I got frazzled on RQI, and I'm looking at too many things at once. But it's a REIT, you know. It's REIT, you know. It's
oh,
a REIT.
It is?
Yeah,
right.
It's a REIT.
Yeah. Hmm.
So anyway,
okay. Glad we clarified that. All right.
So that's cleared. It is a REIT, RQI. I should know that. I mean, I don't know where my mind was.
No comment.
No, I knew you were going to say no comment. Okay. We're going to go next to Bill in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, guys. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to
two
you.
Two things. One's a comment.
Uh-oh.
I am with Victor 100%.
I know you are.
You know, your listeners need to know that this silver was one of the worst investments you can make.
Well,
absolutely.
Just going back in to Jason's behalf.
I'm talking about. Yeah. And he forgets to tell people when you want to, if you possess the silver, besides having the store costs, et cetera, when you go to sell it, everybody wants 10% off right away. They never give you a spot. So he talks about, you know, going in, you can get cash right away. Yeah, for 10% off. So it's a killer of an investment, and anybody ought to be very cautious. And you guys are right. And Dave, you're correct when you call them on some of these things.
Right, but we're all guilty of certain things. But I don't think he means you put 100% of your assets in.
Oh, I'm not. But even a piece of it was the worst investment I ever made.
Yeah. Well, that's like anything when it doesn't work, you know. But thank you. Yeah, but he's a good guy. He means well. So.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I had him do my windows, but he's all cash too. You know. Yeah. So you know what that means.
Anyway.
Moving on, my question.
Moving
is,
right on.
Yeah, please. Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to this show again. This one I'm listening to. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is on foreign stocks. I read an article. It made some sense to me. And it was saying one should consider in a portfolio of getting out of the international foreign stocks because historically now they're not performed well. They've underperformed. And the risk return is not worth it. What do you guys think of that? And do you recommend it in the portfolio for people? And how much do you recommend?
For me, about 5 or 6 years ago, I got out of any global holdings or international. I just didn't like what was going on. Mm-hmm. I have started over the last 12 months getting back in to international and global in a small percentage, you know, depending on the portfolio, the size. But I think it's the place to be. They're going through what we went through in 2008-09. I think there's a lot of values. I may be early, but I just think there's a lot of value to it.
So if you're in it, you stay in it, right?
Well, depending on if you're looking at individual stocks or if you're looking at a fund or a closed-end.
See, that's the type of thing, you know, if you're a long-term investor, then you have a small portion, you know, in different areas. And you just say, hey, okay, some years the international is not going to do well, but you're supposedly diversified and you're long-term. And then all of a sudden, you know, they'll go back in the favor and they help pick up your portfolio.
Right.
So as a long-term investor, a certain portion in there is not bad.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
And it depends on percentages.
Right.
On that.
Yeah.
But I think they're valued today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Okay. Thanks
All right.
For
thank you.
That.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, have a nice one.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go next to Vic in Williamsville. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's always fun to have a good laugh on when one am out on hold. getting somebody to wash windows for cash. I don't know.
Anyway, we'll get off that subject.
That was funny. That was
right.
I just want to ask you about three stacks. I want to know if they're close to tapping. SYK.
SYK, huh? Let me just see. I hope I didn't lose my chart there.
Add it to the list of things we've lost.
Things I've lost, right?
Sam Yellow Knight is Stryker Corporation. Closed at $120.41. What a beautiful chart.
And what's the objective there?
Yeah, let me take a look real quick.
I'm looking at 118.
Are you? As the objective? Where are you getting that from?
FinViz.
Oh, well, FinViz must be right, okay?
I don't know. It's just,
That's as good as anything, right?
Yeah, but their price objectives, I don't think, are changed as
well. Well, the problem is, you know, even with the point and figure chart, okay, you know, 120 is the price objective, and it hit 120, all right?
Yeah, 120.
Another way of doing it is that it broke out of what would be called a reverse head and shoulders pattern, you know, for what it's worth. And that pattern was about 18 points, so the breakout, well, even that would give you, about 125 or something like that, you know. So you don't really get a real high target on it.
Who cares?
Yeah.
This thing just keeps on going.
Yeah, I know. It's
wow.
And it's in this kind of a sweet spot. They make orthopedic devices.
Oh.
And,
yep.
You know.
The longer you live, the more chance you're going to need one.
So you think 125 is about a reasonable target?
Wow. Yeah, definitely. You know,
I hope you own this.
And then you just,
I do. I do. I've owned it. It's relational to elderly people needing like we talked more of these devices. So you would think as time goes on, you have more of the baby boomers needing.
This year, it's just been unbelievable. What a champ. Holy cow.
You know, and if you look at it, it would almost seem like it would have more potential than that because, from the end of, let's see, what year? 2014, is it? Yeah, end of 2014 to just recently, it went sideways.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big consolidation area.
Yeah, but you look at a long-term chart, monthly chart.
I know, yeah, but
gosh, 2012, it's a 45-degree angle. There aren't many of these.
Yeah, but, the major thing is when you break out of what's a base for almost a year and a half, 2 years, that portends much higher prices,
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
All right, I want to ask you about Boring Johnson & Johnson.
Boring.
Yeah.
We all wish we just owned it and kept it for years, right?
Too boring.
Look at that. Unbelievable. Well, that one gives you a price target of 133.
133, yeah. They were kind of like in a trading range for a long time, and I've had it for a while, but this year they've really gone skyward.
Yeah, close at 121.29. Yeah.
No, very, very strong, and,
2.6 dividend. Sweet.
Yep.
Nice.
Okay, and what last one, Quest Diagnostics, DGX. That's just broken out.
DGX. Boy, that took off like a shot, too.
Nice. Oh, my Lord. Holy cow.
Well, for what this one's worth, the price objective is 124. But, where it could be headed is the high of last year, which was 89. So you'd look
for that. That's what I was thinking, looking at the chart.
Right, so. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're looking at it, and it's good you're looking at it. And 89, should be the area that, you should be looking at as a next potential target on it,
Okay. All right, thanks for your help.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Good holiday. Thanks for calling,
Vic. Take care. Okay, I guess we're down to the end of the show. About 2 minutes to go, and as we always do say, you know, do your own research. You know, try to decide what kind of investor, trader, whatever you are in the market. Most people kind of bounce back and forth. You know, when your stock goes down a lot, you become an investor. You know, then we're all investors, you know. So, but, you know, kind of know yourself. That's the key.
Well, the key is where do we go from here?
Yeah, it's not the market that usually beats you. It's you that beat yourself. You know,
got to have a game plan. Stick with it.
Yeah.
Brexit.
And be careful, as we always say, trying to interpret the news. What does it mean if interest rates go up? What does it mean if interest rates go down? What does that mean? What does this mean? Well, you don't know. The market determines, you know, and you have to say, well, what does the market really think of this, you know, when it's all said and done? And you can just drive yourself nuts trying to guess, even in the individual news item on a company.
Yeah, it's getting hot in here, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have a birthday candle with a birthday cake, 240 candles on it.
240 candles.
That's how old the
country is. You're interrupting all my important stuff I'm talking about.
Nothing's that important.
Well, it's
God bless America.
Very important.
There you go. Glad my grandparents caught the boats coming over.
Well, they were true immigrants, but anyway, that's beside the point. They were not illegal immigrants, all right?
Well, you never know.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Not sure about my mother's parents.
But anyway.
Absolutely. She'll be calling me.
We won't get off into another topic. You know, almost got me started there again. So,
no, but
we are at the end of the show. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. You know, the market's rallied back to this area many times this year.
Tell Andrew,
as David pointed out, the market's going sideways for a year, and we're back up into where it's always kind of run into resistance every time. So, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the market can do next week. And, you know, basically, I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a pullback after that gigantic rally. And, you know, once again, you know, have a strategy, know what your objectives are. Don't pay attention to the news. Keep a little powder dry. And what else? Have a nice
buy low sell
July 4th weekend.
Very good.
And safe. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.